This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, the Hollow Table News Network. Is you're not even remotely close to around the clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I am Celia Axera, one of your hosts, and as usual, we are joined by Pico Burrito. Pico, how are you?
You know, I just totally did like the rookie podcaster move and forgot to mute the stream that I was watching to see what was going on. So, yeah,
I just did that too.
so, yeah, that was great. I was going to say, you know, this is I've got a little bit of the Doors rolling through my head right now. Little Riders on the Storm, this very, very quiet period. I think we're going to talk about this tonight. But before I jump in, I know we don't cross the streams very often.
But I
do want to echo a lot of the comments that were on the Discord server, the Under the Hollow Table. You and Box did a phenomenal job with Taliana, and I thought it was an incredibly insightful episode of just kind of stepping through where things are. I think my favorite part about it, that's what happens when someone who is passionate about what they do and has an opportunity to talk about it. Like, I just thought that was so cool. Like, that confidence and just like, no, this is, the data says this. The data doesn't care about your opinions. The data says this. And I thought she did a phenomenal job. I thought you guys did a phenomenal job with it. But great work. So
thank you. She was, she is so interesting. And what I actually really enjoyed the most out of that episode, if you guys haven't heard it, it is talking about the skill squish in particular in Grand Arena. But it is really refreshing when you get to talk to somebody, especially when most people, especially related to this topic, have been like, oh, well, Taliana's gathering the data and she says this, and everyone's just kind of rehashing what she says. But when you get to go to the actual source and hear it, it is so much more informative. And you kind of cut out all the things that get lost in translation. And she does a really good job of explaining it in a really, I don't want to say like dumbed down way, because I don't think it was dumbed down, but she makes it very simple to understand why it is such a complex thing.
Yeah. You know, and it's, this is, Discord's a great platform for the way we use it for interaction, but it's not a great way to disseminate information. And that's part of, there's a lot of what she said there, to your point. She's been incredibly verbose in kind of doing analysis of that data. But what ends up happening is then you put it in a shortened format that can be consumed by Discord, and then somebody even shortens that to give a summary from that side. And there's a lot of pieces of that conversation that's missing. That this is what I miss about old message boards. And, you know, well, and we could argue that Reddit would be a great place for that, but that's a dumpster fire. The CG forums are a dumpster fire. But yeah, I thought it was great. I wish there was a way for long form written communication for games like this, for these cases. And we just, as a community, we haven't really kind of found a way to make that work. So
yeah. So it was very interesting. And I think if you are at all curious about it, then it is a good listen, in my biased opinion.
I was jealous. I was jealous that you guys did such a phenomenal job, and I wasn't there. I will freely admit that the episode made me jealous, and I'm petty, but that's okay.
that is fair, very fair. Do you want to do, before we get into the headlines? I feel like we should just switch the order and do like an HNN for good update.
Yes,
for good at the start.
Yep. So voting is closed as of today. So the winner by a slight margin is the MS Society of Canada. So we will be making a donation to them by the end of the month. We will also be I'll probably look to do it over the weekend just because I'm busy over the next couple of days, that we'll look to start getting some suggestions on what we're going to do for the month of March. So folks, if you have some ideas, get onto the HNN server and do a posting from that side. I'm happy to throw up ideas. Sarah, I don't know if you've got any ideas. I won't put you on the spot right now, but we can make a couple of suggestions. But again, we'd love the community to kind of feed some peace back in. Rumor has it there's some problems on the other side of the world with earthquakes, and maybe there's some people that can use a little bit of help that way. And maybe that's a good place to start looking, to maybe start sending some help.
Yeah, so, I like that idea.
There's also in my backyard, and I don't know what they're doing, but there's a huge ecological disaster going on about 2 hours away from me right now. We'll see where maybe that's another suggestion there as well. So, but yeah. So again, MS Society of Canada, we're really excited. Support number month number two is down, and we'll step into month number three coming up pretty quick. So,
That's exciting. Okay, so I guess we can talk about the news in the game.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
A tiny bit. There's like three main things, which is really like one.
It's like one, and it's a small kit. Like that's the interesting part. It's a small kit.
Oh, okay. I hadn't even looked at it. So. Okay. So obviously, like you're saying, we've got the Tusken Warrior kit. I was about to say Tusken Raider. Tusken Warrior kit. So we should have her in game. Well, she should be in game now, but the marquee tomorrow. So we've got that to go over. Set 7 of Datacrons is here, I guess, if we want to highlight it. And then there is a March calendar already.
Yes.
And we're only highlighting it because there are some very obvious things I think we both feel should be pointed out.
Look, I'll be pretty honest. We're a week and a half late on the Datacron topic. I think a lot of people have beat that horse to death.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just haven't even looked at them.
I was really okay. I shouldn't say I was really excited, but I was like, "Ooh, a light side set!" And then I kind of like skimmed it, and I was like, "Eh, okay."
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
I rolled a 9 today for Zori Bliss. Of course.
Of course.
I don't know, man. It's just right now it feels like there's a lot of churn with the Datacrons, and I still like them in the game. I'm not ready to get super invested in them right now on this set.
The thing that I don't want to say it like bugged me, and I realize this is like an end game / first world type of problem to have. This was the first set where I couldn't dismantle them and then spend the cash fast enough to not cap.
Yep.
And I think you made a great point in our guild server about that, where we're all going to hit a point where that just happens.
So I'm at right now for set 6. Mm-hmm. I'm at 41 million data cash if I dismantle them right now.
Which is
and you got to think about, you're going to pick up, I think it's like roughly 3-ish million, at least at our level, about roughly 3 to 7 million in data cash from territory wars as you're leading up to that. So really you've got between, we'll call it, 25 million to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, in my view, it's not worth flushing the money into crystals to get roll map materials for the new stuff.
Right.
Because you're basically just shifting where your spending is coming from that side. And there are a lot of people like, well, Pico, why don't you just go, spend it into 6? The problem is that I just compound the problem. You're just kicking the can further down the road from that side. So, I get why CG put the cap in, because they don't want us to have all of them unless we are willing to spend.
Right.
But man, it kind of sucks when you run into it.
Yeah. I was like, honestly, like when I realized it was going to happen, and I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to cap then. Like there really wasn't anything to do about it. And that's how it was.
Yeah. I appreciate the people that were kind of going through, and there was someone in our guild who had actually planned ahead to kind of maximize their investment into set six coming out of that way. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is a level of planning I'm just not good at. But I think eventually the entire player base is going to basically just get beat into the point of, no, I just take my 30 and I that gives me 3 level 9s right off the bat, and everything else kind of goes from there. So,
right, exactly, and you just kind of follow.
Yep.
Follow the ball from there.
Yeah.
Okay, but it is a full light side set. I feel like we can, and then it really, really briefly, it's for droids, smugglers, and resistance. some of these look pretty cool. And like, so this is the thing. So for me, like when I was reading them, reading the level nines, I was like, sorties sounds really cool. L3s sounds pretty decent. I think it was Kira's sounded like there were a couple of them. Yeah. Where I was like, these all sound great. I don't even have like the ones that sound great. I'm like, you're not even at Relics.
Yeah.
So I like to me, I'm like, this is a set where I'm not really going to chase level nines.
And you know, I chased a ton out of set six, and I thought, you know, there's having flexibility and maybe 3v3. And I think there were two or three of the level nines that I didn't even touch over the last 2 months. So, you know, I think I'll chase a Chewie and 3PO. And then if something else kind of lines up where I want it to be, I'll go after it. But I'm in the same boat. I just, you know, it's funny. I guess if I'm going to be honest about it, it's not that Datacrons are become a lot of work. Grand Arena is just a lot of work right now.
Right.
And I just, you know, I've started over the past, I think over the past two Grand Arena cycles, I just don't play on Wednesdays. If you're my opponent on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. man, that's a win for you. Like I take my points and I call it a day because I just, the week just doesn't function that way. And I wonder if my view of Datacrons maybe aren't being a little bit pushed by the fact that it just, it's really, really hard to just spend as much time on Grand Arena as it used to take. So,
yeah, it is. It is. And it's way more, it's just way more time consuming, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally understand that, but
not gonna lie, Grand Arena is a lot more fun when like I have Aphra and no one else does and they can't beat it, and then I only have to clear like two teams. It's not fun when everyone else starts to catch up. So
yeah, exactly. When they're doing the same thing, it is less fun. But yeah, like I mean, there are a few level nines that are interesting. There are a few that you're like, okay, whatever. But mostly I'm just kind of like, okay, I think I might just take what I get from this set.
Yep. Yeah.
Figure out where
it goes.
Yeah. I think I will be more inclined to roll the level sixes, which is pretty common, and level threes. Or to re-roll them, I should say, sorry. Versus chasing the level nine, because I don't think the level nine is really going to help me on any of them.
Yeah.
Unless I want to go chase some relic levels.
That's what set five, I was more R sixes than I was any of the higher ones. And we'll see where it shakes out. Of course, I will probably find out, you know, in week two of the next Grand Arena, it's like, oh, by the way, you should have this one. I don't have it. And now I'm waiting for the next, you know, conquest to roll around so I can actually go chase it. So,
yeah, that's the downside. and like, I do actually have to upgrade some of them because I made the dummy mistake today of being like, oh, yeah, I've capped my data cache. And then I just kind of ignored it. And then I went into conquest and was spamming sector one. Yeah. And I was like, nothing's dropping here. Oh,
the bank does not have any more room for my money. Yeah, oh no,
that would be why. But and I also have hit that point where I'm like, the crons that I do have, I can't upgrade them any further because I need more materials, which is totally fine, no big deal. But I also can't get any actual data crons to trade.
Yeah.
So whatever. Anyway, I don't see anything crazy stat wise on here.
Nope.
I think it's pretty straightforward, and I guess yay for a new set of Datacrons.
But honestly, I guess we've got another month. So yeah, so we'll see where it chases out. Any more I look at it, as long as Dodge isn't there, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of it is just, it becomes what it is at that point. So, you know, I think, like you said, I think 3PO and Chewbacca one is going to be fun. The other ones, I think if you've got a character that can do it, it'll be interesting to see if they do anything interesting that way. But I just, the other problem is a lot of the teams that they're on don't bring enough to the table that it's going to fundamentally change what they do. It's not like a Kira Smugglers team is going to all of a sudden be great. And oh, by the way, you've probably got a Hondochron that you might want to use with them as well. So,
right.
You know, it's a bit of a turd polish, I think, on some of those. I don't just see them to be a big difference maker.
Yeah. I agree. It's just an interesting set. I'm kind of curious to see. I mean, actually, now that I think about it, I was curious to see what we get next set, which is hilarious because this set just started. It's going to be Tuscan's next set.
Oh, yeah. It's going to. Absolutely.
Tuscan's for sure. Okay. Do we want to talk about the Tuscan's?
Yes, let's talk about the Tuscan's.
Okay, so we are getting this lovely marquee tomorrow, Tuscan Warrior. And did you read the kit?
I read through it very, very briefly. I seemed to keep reading the word momentum over and over again, and I couldn't tell if I was tired and I just kept getting stuck on the same word or if it just really says momentum like every third word.
Oh, boy.
So can I just point something out?
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
All black in the desert. I mean, I get striking visuals and everything, but come on, who's wearing all black in the desert? All right.
Right.
This is insanity.
This is not, you know, just wear some white.
I mean, there's a way you can make that character stick out on the show and not just like completely look. I can get behind, you know, space wizards with laser swords, but a person living in the desert in all black is just a bridge too far. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not wise.
It's not. Yeah, that's going to be an extra smelly, you know, set of robes.
Okay, so let's have a look at this then. So she is dark side, obviously Tuscan attacker. Nothing too crazy. Obviously synergizes with all of the Tuscans.
Yeah.
All five now that we have. Okay, so she has a basic is this Gatterfee? Gatterfi?
I'll be honest. Every time I read it as Gandolfini, the guy from oh, I can't believe I just tried to make a joke on him and I forgot his name. The Mafia show.
Mafia.
James Gandolfini. Oh.
Like,
man, can we just edit this part out of the episode? It's so bad.
Now I'm like the Mafia show.
Now I will get it. It was on HBO, so
The Sopranos.
Yes, thank you. Yes, James Gandolfini. That's every time I see that word, I read it like James Gandolfini as opposed to Gatter Fifi Fifi Fifi.
Yeah.
So
something.
It is the chat's now all rolling in. Sopranos, Sopranos, Sopranos.
oh man. So whatever this word is, smack.
Yeah.
Deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict damage over time for 2 turns. Attack again and gain 3 momentum for 3 turns if Tuscan Warrior has momentum. Okay.
Yes.
So I guess, okay, so she's got to get momentum. So, okay, cool. Somehow.
Well, she'll get it somehow, and also the chief generates a ton of momentum for the team as well.
Right.
And he goes so fast, I think he actually like loops back in time to go first. So yeah, he's pretty quick.
He is insanely fast. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, so then special one, Tuscan charge, cooldown of 2. And then they did this, you and I were talking about this. They did this weird thing this time where they put the unlock tier in.
Yep. So that is the gear level that unlocks the ability.
Right.
So I don't know why this is relevant because, yes, there is a portion of the community that will unlock him and not be able to get to gear 2 right away. But I think we're all taking him up at least to like gear 6.
Right.
Just out of by default. So
it is. I don't see why it's necessary to include it, I guess. But anyway. Grant all Tuscan allies critical damage up for two turns and five stacks of momentum for three turns. Then deal physical damage to target enemy, inflict defense down for two turns, and dispel all buffs on all enemies. Huh.
Not bad.
That's not bad.
I will point out, because I did read this in the Q&A, this does sound a little backwards. The way that it works is that you will deal damage, then apply defense down, and then dispel all debuffs. Mm-hmm. Someone said, hey, shouldn't it be the other way around? Dispel all debuffs, grant, do defense down, and then do damage. And Meathead, or actually, I think it was I think the developers actually come back on the Q&A.
Right.
But the developer said it's a limitation of the engine that they use. Yep. And it's not something they can fix. So this is an order of operations based on the way the game is. So this is just the way it's going to happen every time. So
interesting.
So again, probably something that's happening in a higher level order. But they're right. In a perfect world, I would love to have defense down before I actually hit them. But
yeah, that is really interesting. I'm more curious now if it actually is limited that way, or if they just don't want to code it the way it would, the way we want it to work. Okay. And then her second special, finishing strikes, cooldown of 4. It's Zeta. You need gear 4 to unlock it, in case you were wondering.
I hope I've got enough.
Oh, man. Although, can I just say the animation for it is pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
Okay. Remove all stacks of momentum from Tuscan Warrior. Deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict damage over time for two turns. Deal damage an additional time up to 5 times, 50% less damage, and it can't be countered. For each stack of momentum removed from Tuscan Warrior, this ability has additional effects based on the number of stacks of momentum Tuscan Warrior has. 10 plus stacks, this ability does 50% more damage. 15 plus stacks, attack an additional time, dealing massive damage to target enemy, which can't be countered or evaded. So theoretically, if you had 15 plus stacks, would you attack 6 times?
7.
7 times.
Yep. So the first time, then you get 5 more attack. You get what? You get up to 5 more attacks based off of your stacks of momentum. So mm-hmm. if you're at 15, so you'll consume. So that would be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right.
And if you are at 10 stacks, those all are at 100% damage.
Okay.
And then your 7th attack would be if you're at 15 plus and you do massive damage on that hit.
On the 7th.
On the 7th hit. So again, depending on what the base damage for that is, I mean, 6 hits at 100% plus massive damage at the end. That's a spicy meatball.
That could hit pretty hard.
And it feels like she's going to generate a ton of momentum because remember, yeah, okay, so I'm remembering back from the kit for the chieftain.
Mm-hmm.
He randomly calls allies to assist. So that means if she has momentum, she's going to get 3
right
off of that. So it's going to stack up pretty quick because she's going to get called assist for basics.
Right, okay. So I'm kind of curious about this is it reads in a way that like you deal damage an additional time up to 5 times for each stack of momentum removed from her. So theoretically 5 stacks of momentum, 5 additional hits.
Yep.
What is interesting to me is if you have 15 stacks, you still lose all of them.
Yes. Yeah. So they want you to build it up and tear mm-hmm. it down and build it up and tear it down,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's not a problem, but that's like, if you look at Scion's kit, once he builds them up in territory wars,
mm-hmm.
he never loses them because they stack up so quick and they never actually go away from that side. So we never, but so it's clear they want a building mechanic and a spiky mechanic basically is really what it looks like. So,
right. Okay, fair. Okay, then she's got her unique Centuries of Tradition, which is a Zeta and an Omicron. It's a territory war Omicron. Okay. So Tuscan Warrior gains 30% offense and potency. Tuscan Warrior's abilities deal 5% more damage for each damage over time effect on all enemies, stacking to a max of 50%. Whenever momentum is removed during an enemy's turn, gain 10 stacks of momentum for 3 turns. Limit once per turn. Okay. Interesting. Whenever damage over time expires on an enemy, all enemies lose 3% tenacity, stacking for the rest of the battle. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then her Omicron in Territory Wars. Whenever Tuscan Warrior reaches 15 stacks of momentum, she dispels all debuffs on herself. The cooldown of finishing strikes is reset, and she gains a bonus turn limit once per turn. Tuscan Warrior removes all stacks of momentum at the end of her bonus turn. Tuscan Warrior removes all stacks of momentum. Why did they put that in there twice? Come on, guys. So she gains a bonus turn, limited once per turn, and then she removes all stacks of momentum at the end of her bonus turn.
So basically, whenever she gets to 15 stacks, you're not waiting for her to come back and do the punching. She's just going to take a turn and do the punching.
Right. So because it's reset here, so she just goes and does her special.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not convinced that this is going to be worth it in Territory Wars.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like trying to decide how I feel about it. It feels like a marquee kit.
Yeah, it does.
Yep. Which is totally fine because that's what she is. She's a marquee.
Yeah. it might be a case that again, it's a point in time character. Maybe it's much better for character for players that are earlier in game. I think as you push more and more to the board is either Galactic Legend light characters, and that's really all you're playing with. Unless you're taking out a Galactic Legend, it feels like a bit of a waste from that side. So
right,
yeah,
yeah. Unless this starts doing something ridiculous down the road,
yeah,
I don't.
Yep.
I don't know what you do here. Okay. So was there anything? Did you look at the Q&A?
I did, and there wasn't anything that really kind of stuck out, I think, in the Q&A besides someone asked about for why. So I think the couple were, why is it a Territory Wars Omicron? When instead of just having it signed to Django, and they're like, look, signed to Django has only got the modifiers for 3v3 because we wanted to be able to split them into two teams. And they're like, that's the reason. In Territory Wars, it is the Tuscan team. Like it's pretty clear this is designed to be the Tuscan team that they said there. They made the comment about the turn order piece. They did, and we joked about this before the show. Someone, said, why are they evil? They really just seem to be a group of people that were just trying to find their way in the world. And they're like, yeah, but we just wanted people to have the ability to use them in dark side territory battles, before they got to Rise of the Empire. And so it just made sense to have them that tag. Sometimes you just need bad guys. So they're just bad guys is what it comes down to in some of those cases. But there wasn't really a whole lot there that I thought. Someone did ask, is she going to be a pilot for Red 5? Which again, it's,
come on,
I guess that's a thing. But no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Look, we like big numbers. If that second special creates the big number that it sounds like, people are going to love it. It's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to hit with it from that side. But it's going to be outside of the raid. I'm not sure where they fit. I'll be honest. Yeah. I'm just not sure where they fit. And it's okay. they're a marquee team. At the end of the day, they are a marquee team, and marquee teams either fill a very specific niche role, or we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect them to do anything crazy against the meta. I don't expect them to do anything crazy in territory war. Maybe trip some people up if you put them on defense, but who knows? I am curious about the raid with them.
Yep.
I think that is probably where they are going to shine the most. But yeah.
It's just, it would have been great if they actually would have put it in like Stinky Robe as an ability, because again, I just can't get over this all black in the desert. It just, I just can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah. It's not wise. Yeah. And they do say, actually, just, this is pretty, pretty good. With the inclusion of the new Tuskens, it seems you're adding characters from established shows instead of nuances, ancillary characters from comic books. Why was the decision made? I mean, they're doing this not just with Tuskens. They've done this with Book of Boba. They've done this with Mando. Yeah. They did it with Bad Batch. Like, it's pretty much there. But it's nice to have a clear-cut answer of them being like, the crate raid's coming, and we want Tuskens in it. And Book of Boba Fett gave us new Tuskens, so why not just make it all happen?
I mean, it feels like there was probably two other paragraphs cut off of that question where they were justifying like their one corner case, you know, comics character that they absolutely love that they need to be included there. But yeah, I mean, it's, I just got done with one of the High Republic books. There's a lot of really cool characters in it in those things, but you know, it's, everyone knows the Book of Boba. I mean, it's everyone knows the shows. They're a much more widely consumed piece, and sorry folks, we're gonna get moving pictures before we get talkie pictures before we get color pictures in a book. Like that's the way it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm. So we get some Tuskens, and that's fine.
Yep,
we'll keep it. Anything else really about the kit? It's pretty straightforward.
No. Yeah. It's the crazy part of these short kits. Like, we feel like we need to fill up 30 minutes talking about it. Like, no. It's pretty straightforward. Get momentum, hit things with big stick.
Right.
Do it again.
I guess we'll just carry on. So the only other thing really, and it's not crazy news per se, but they did release the March calendar. There is, I don't know if you saw this, but there's no weird formatting in it. Nothing is oddly colored. So there, whatever, it's fine. What is interesting about this is the login characters are Inquisitors.
Yes.
And I don't know if you noticed this. I don't know if this is what they always do in their phrasing for the calendar. I should have gone back and looked, but he specifically says, here is a list of some of the upcoming events. Is that normal?
I think it is. So that's a very boilerplate phrase. Like, normally I think like if he was trying to get us, like, it would have been, here's a list of some, and the O would be red. Like, if he was trolling us like that's what it would have been. I think I know where you're sniffing.
Right.
I think you're right. But you know, the first two, Inquisitorius,
mm-hmm.
that were released to the game are going to be the bonus characters. So they will both be also in March. They will both be accelerated by that point.
Yep.
And it's been a while since their buddy came back.
It has been. It's been, by the time March hits, I mean, it will be close to 3 months.
Yeah. So I think it's probably a pretty safe bet to guess where that's coming. Now, what I don't like about the way that they laid this calendar out is, you know, we used to be able to kind of find that one little, you know, like 7-day gap in the calendar, although I'm not sure that they can do that anymore with the way that everything runs. But
yeah, I was just skimming for that.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty good chance that it comes back, and I'm going to guess the last week of March, because devotion is at the first week of March, so it's probably going to come in right before April, and it rolls into the April cycle. So would be my guess.
If you look at the last week of March really quickly, you have an event on the 30th.
Yep.
The 20th. On an Omega event. The 27th is another Omega event. There's an assault battle on the 25th. The Radis event is on the 24th.
Yep.
There's not really a whole ton in between the 20th and the end of the month.
You know what's interesting? There's only one Mythic event that month as well, in the month.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if we get all the Mythic events every month or all three of them, because it's Yoda, Pieces and Plans, and I think there's a third one, and I can't, oh, the Thrawn event. Maybe I'm mistaken that we get all three of them, but I just think the end of March is kind of where it probably lands.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if it was end of March. So, I guess if you don't have Grand Inquisitor and you're close, maybe think about that. The other thing to keep in mind is they did data mine Inquisitor packs coming out in March. So you've got Inquisitor packs, you've got Inquisitor login characters. I don't know. So, seems.
Savitar did point out that most importantly, nothing too important on St. Patrick's Day, but we actually don't know if they're smart. They're selling packs on St. Patrick's Day, because let's be honest, sometimes a little bit too much green beer means a little bit too much just buy. So, you know, it's, we don't always just have to make bad decisions at O'Burns. We can also do that at other places as well. So,
yeah, it's gonna be interesting. This is gonna be an interesting month, March.
Yeah, it is.
So I think I would be happy to see Grand Inquisitor come back in March.
I would too.
I feel for the frustration of players that are like, when is it happening? When is it happening? And I feel like making them wait until June when he's in the journey guide is just cruel.
I feel for the people that couldn't get ready in time.
Yeah.
I do not feel for the people that chose to push the Inquisitors for something else.
Yeah, I think everyone has had plenty of warning by now, so to speak, of get your Inquisitors ready.
Yeah.
So, and just on that note, like, we were kind of talking about it a little bit in our H&N server today. If you can already see in the events in game, there is the Tusken Galactic Challenge coming up. So, like, same idea, keep in mind, like, don't forget what CG was saying. You're going to want your Tuskens for the raid. You're going to want them for galactic challenges. They're going to be conquest feats. They're going to have a Dei Dukron set. Like, they're basically telling us what we did last year with Inquisitors, we're going to do again with Tuskens.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
Look, you guys didn't want to believe us last year, and look what happened. We're now telling you the same thing, so please believe us.
Yeah. And point blank, being like, We are telling you this so that you can plan your farms. Just something to keep in mind. But that's all we have for news.
It is not a lot. It's those periods of quiet that really freak me out.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about that? Is that our That's No Moon? Is that our Bantha in the room?
Well, you know, it's
I feel like we're in a weird area.
It is. It's funny, and look, I've heard a lot of people talk about this, a lot of the other, man, and I hate saying content creators, but other talking heads on this game. That to me, that calling someone a talking head is better than calling them a content creator, like in the weird Pico world, you know. but I've heard a lot of people talk about there's just too much going on in the game, and I do feel like right now we're in a little bit of lull around what's going on. It feels strange to be somewhat bothered by it,
right?
But it makes me uneasy right now. Yeah. It just makes me feel like I should be saving all of the things. I should be kind of putting the storm shutters on the house,
mm-hmm.
and taking, you know, maybe driving for Uber for a couple of weeks to get a little bit of side money, because I think the gates are going to open and then it gets ugly.
Yeah, it is interesting too, because I'm like, okay, so this is the second marquee that we know of that is coming.
Yep. Yep.
And it feels like it was, like, I was expecting this marquee last week.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been surprised by that either.
Yeah. So I feel like things are kind of spaced out in terms of how they're releasing it, which does make me worry.
Yeah.
Makes me a little bit grateful, but also makes me worry.
Well, because so we know that the Jedi Survivor comes out in April,
mm-hmm.
which means we're going to start getting that content around that period. So
it's a great point.
What that seems to be squeezing a lot of things into that period. And, you know, it's, I think about how the community kind of lost their mind when we got the two droids at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of us forget that we got the two droids at the same time, but they skipped the next two, you know, the in 2 weeks, they skipped that marquee character. So they still kept kind of that every other character release. But I do feel like something's going to hit us out of nowhere, that it's all going to come piling in, especially with Reva and Trench kind of coming at the same time together as well. So,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know about you, but stale's not the right word, but it doesn't feel like we're doing anything new right now.
Right. Which is, but that's probably the right way to phrase it instead of stale, because to me, this is the busiest week out of the 4 week schedule that CG has created for us. This week, with territory battles and conquest being live, is the busiest week. Or I find it to be the most time intensive week in game out of the whole 4 week schedule. And it's not that there's anything new. It's just that it is a lot of heavy time game mode.
Let me ask you about that. So, you know, we're now 2.5-3 months into territory battles. We've somewhat kind of, at least for Old Dirty Blasters, we've landed kind of where we're going to be. We're not
right.
We're not seeing a lot of shift of the board right now. And we didn't really see a lot of shift of the board last territory battle as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem less time consuming for you right now? Because it does for me, because it's I've got my teams built. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm running every mission. I don't have to put any thought into it. I just go in and I run it.
Right.
Do you feel the same way, or is it still, is there still some work and effort kind of behind it?
There really isn't the work and effort per se, because I'm in the same boat where I know what teams I am running and on exactly which combat missions, like exactly which nodes, because I've got them all from the month before. And we are in that place, like you were saying, where we're making progress in terms of we're seeing like a little bit of like point gain in terms of how we're running through the map, but we're not making progress in terms of gaining another star. Like that's still a ways away. It just feels it feels more because of conquest, because when it's just territory battles, it's territory battles and Grand Arena and it is smooth. Like,
yeah.
But once you throw in Conquest, and for me, Conquest is such a scheduled thing. Like, if I can't get to Conquest by a certain time of the day, I start to get anxiety because I'm like,
yeah,
this shifts my whole plan for this day's, you know, Conquest farming or whatever you want to call it. So I'm like, if I'm not in game and in Conquest by like 11 a.m. at the latest, my eyes start twitching.
Sure.
And when you are dealing with territory battles, and obviously this is a niche case scenario too, because not only am I dealing with territory battles as a player, but as an officer, where you're like, okay, who hasn't finished their combats? Who has to deploy still?
Yeah.
We need to send out platoon info for the next phase. Like, all of that stuff compounds, and it's all in the morning, and I'm like, ugh. But yeah. I also need to do Conquest. So it just feels like it's a lot all at once. And it's nothing new. It's just this week.
I think part of the problem right now for me is in Conquest. I don't like this Conquest. I'm just and it's not that it's hard, but it requires a lot of micromanaging.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, and I think that you know, while it's great that you can run, you know, two teams for the Sith, two teams for the Separatists, then you've got the 3POs, and then you got the other droids, but those are all. Those are 20 or 40s.
Yeah.
So I treat two team 40s like one team 20s, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So my goal is to knock off. My goal is to try and keep pace with, to knock out 20 or 40s.
Yeah.
So I can do five of 3PO and R2, and I can do that in 4 days, and if I can do two teams out of 40, that gives it in 4 days. But what that's really leaving us right now is, you know, 2, 4, 5 right there,
yeah,
across the board. And that's actually, I think I figured out, like, it's literally like almost all of your energy just trying to keep up to, and my fear is always like, I forget one of them and it's too hard to go back and fix it. But the whole thing about the leader swap, that's the one that, like, I can put R2 at the front of like a sortie squad, mm-hmm. and still get the same, but I have to manage it where with sortie, I can just turn on auto and I can fight it and I can do something else at that time. And it's, And I just don't like Conquest when I feel like I have to manage the fights.
Right.
That
makes sense.
I want to get these global feats done and kind of get into it, but it just feels like I'm constantly just having to play it, and then that takes significantly longer to get through it. So
yeah, I can totally see that. And I think that's why, like, for me, I try not to rush those.
Yeah,
it's really good to rush them, especially if you feel like, what I would probably do, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is I would rush the ones that give you the data disks.
Yeah,
so those are the ones that I would probably do like five of in a day versus just three.
Yep.
And then slowly do the other ones, and I don't know if that would make it any better, because then you can take some energy and move forward. And that's the other thing, is you don't want to spend all of your energy just on the global feats, because then you're not doing any of those win 14 sector feats, which also you have to manage, because you don't want to fall behind on those either.
I think I'm almost done with sector 4.
Right.
And I don't think that I have in sector 3. I know this for a fact. In sector 3, I have not. I don't even have like a point towards any of the feats.
Right.
And in sector 4, I think I've got like 4 fights, because I wasn't even paying attention. I just ran some of the. Now I've got plenty of time to catch up on those, but yeah, it's it it two conquests back, it just felt like everything was aligned. And not even the previous one that was super easy. Mm-hmm. It just felt like two conquests back, everything was just aligned so that you could kind of manage all of the pieces a little bit easier and make progress through them. But yeah, it's an hour and a half in this game mode is just, it's too much.
Yeah. Especially when like it is the same, even though we get a new character and new feats and whatever, it is really the same thing. Like, you know, you're gonna have global feats, you know, you're gonna have sector feats, you know that the bosses are gonna have two feats and they're gonna contradict each other, so you have to do the boss twice. Like, we know all of these things. It's just a matter of which teams do they want us to use.
And I'll be honest, I'm so sick and tired of bounty hunters, like at the treasure node in Sector 1. I'm so sick and tired. Like, I think they've been in place for a year. Can we change them up? Don't make them harder, but just change them up so that we've got different pieces. Like, I don't know, slow down a trooper team and put it there so I can still get 7 kills per cycle and all those other pieces. But it just feels repetitive.
Yeah.
In some of these cases.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. It is that week, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because usually, like, by the second week of Conquest, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. We're almost there.
Yeah, yep.
So
I don't know. I want to let's get through Trench, give us another ship, so then we don't have to worry about building characters. Man, I'm saving gear for Trench and Reaver right now, and it just feels like just an empty, bottomless bucket of things that I just throw things into and it never gets any closer.
I think that's also part of the reason with this Conquest. I personally am not that excited for Trench. I'm just kind of like, okay.
I'm not either.
I'll
be honest.
I'll get you because I know that I will probably need you at some point down the line, and I don't want to have to chase you later on.
I'm going to make a very hot take right now.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not going to get excited about another Conquest character until they prove to me that Conquest characters are worth getting excited about.
Ooh. Which character was the last one that you were excited about, out of curiosity?
Oh, I've been excited about a lot of them. I don't think any of them since Kat have really lived up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
Maul's a great character.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem... This is going to sound weird. He's a great character, but he doesn't seem like he's a difference maker. But I know that he's a difference maker when you put him on teams. Ben, I think, is, again... He's just there.
Right.
Malgus, because he's always on defense, he's just there. Yeah. Cyan was a letdown from what we saw in that. It's like the ships and Kat, that's the only ones that I'm really actually excited that I think have kind of lived up to the hype behind it.
It's funny that you mentioned that because somebody was asking me a few days ago. They're working on their alt and they just got Kenobi, they got Kat, and now they're trying to figure out which Conquest characters to chase to catch up on the rest of them that they've missed. And I was like, I guess Maul next.
Well, and look, Sevatard, I think Sevatard actually just put a comment in chat that I think is much articulated my point a lot better than I was trying to, but they've all been sort of useful.
Yeah.
But Resistance Hero Finn is also sort of useful.
Right.
And that's where I think I think we wrapped it in our heads, especially with Kat. And then I think that the couple that got released after Kat, we gave them the benefit of the doubt on those characters. But, you know, Kat is a difference maker. There's just, no matter what game mode you put her in, she just does some crazy things. Everything else, yes, they've been useful, but Starkiller, I think, is a more impactful character than any of the other Conquest characters we've got besides Kat. And he was a legendary character.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the way that I look at it. I want one of them to come to the game and the reaction is like, oh crap. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, this is phenomenal.
Right. But I think that's fair considering the amount of time that you're spending to get that character.
Yeah.
Right. Like that was the argument. When Kat was released, right? Yeah. Like that was the thing. Like, yeah, okay, it's a little bit grindy, quote unquote, but you can essentially get her for free, even if you spend crystals. It's way less than a marquee, and you're getting this really, really strong character. So yeah, I can 100% agree with that. I am gonna nitpick while we're on this topic, and this sort of has to do with Conquest, but not really. But do you remember a while ago they put out a post touching on Galactic Legends and categorizing them by like tier? Yeah. So you have Galactic Legends, and then you have Galactic Legends plus their lifter units. I am, and this is me being nitpicky, I don't like that in the road ahead they called Marin a lifter. Because to me, lifter goes with a Galactic Legend, not with a squad. So I'm like, maybe she's a refresher, like a faction refresher, but I think lifter is the wrong word.
So I'm gonna totally rip off Xerath on this, but she's a turd polisher, but CG can't call her a turd polisher.
Right. I mean, call her a refresher. She's a Starbucks refresher.
Yeah, she's a Starbucks refresher. Yeah. Yeah. She's a shot of espresso. You know, it's funny because I saw that and I think my immediate reaction in the back of my head was, oh, that's going to get people thinking that she's going to be better than she is.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's it's probably a poor choice of words.
Yeah, I think that if you are going to go through the time to kind of recategorize, so to speak, the Galactic Legends and include a Galactic Legend versus a Galactic Legend with its lifter unit, and you're giving these characters specific you're putting them in boxes. Yeah. You've got legendaries, you've got marquees, all that. Calling her a lifter just seems like a poor thing. And it just reminded me with all this Conquest character talk. And
it's not like this community has ever just latched their teeth into something and not let go for, you know, 2 to 3 years at a time. So, you know. Words matter.
If there's anything CG should have learned about us by now, it's that we don't let go. Oh man. Zoria lifter.
I think by the way they define it, it's Savitar said, like I'm cribbing Savitar on this, but yeah, the way they define it, she is, and by the way, I do have her in relics now, and I've been running her in territory battles. She is fun.
Zoria?
Yeah, because look, any character is fun when they don't have cooldowns, because that's what the Finn Omni basically does for that team. But she's going to be a ton of fun because she calls everybody to assist, and they do some crazy things. So, but she's, you know, CG will call them lifters. We'll call her a turd polisher,
right?
But it, again, when you talk about like though all of these other pieces, we all assumed that we were getting a Zori ship.
Right.
If we're going to, I don't know where they're going to insert it.
Yeah.
Where does it come in? So, yeah.
Do you just do a random galactic chase for it while we've got the marquees for Cal Kestis happening, and who knows?
Although if it's like the Defender, yeah, do that all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I will 100% be on board with that. Keep going. Okay, I think also we should touch on really, really quick, and I won't go into this too crazy. They did, so the Reva mission has been updated.
Yep.
So it is, I don't want to say harder necessarily, it is harder than what it was before. It is not as hard as what we were predicting. Because it looks like the thermal ability is a level one ability now instead of max, and we were all assuming it would be max because that's what it was before, even though it wasn't active because of the tag being missing. So it's you are going to get more thermals. You have 40% chance of getting thermals with Scavenger there. but it doesn't look as awful as it was beforehand. You can still lose. It's not going to be a hit auto thing. If you're not yep. managing it properly, you will lose. But I think that's promising. I don't know if this is intentional.
So again, I'm going to go back to sometimes the simplest answer is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
CG told us the mission wasn't functioning the way that they wanted it to. They were going to make changes with the mm-hmm. stated goal of similar results.
Right.
And it sounds like the results are similar.
It does. Even without platoons being filled.
Yes. So, and again, going to give them the benefit of the doubt, they pulled the lever to make it a level, to lower the chance of the detonators because they saw where it was at
mm-hmm.
and decided, no, we want detonators to come into play. We're just going to make a modification to tune it the way that we want it to.
Right.
And time will tell. Look, we got to do this thing three more times. That's all that matters.
What I think will actually be the make or break, or the do or die, or whatever you want to call it for this, is if this was a mistake, which I honestly don't know if it was, because you have to intentionally go in there to change that ability. But if this was a mistake, and in 3 or 4 TVs, they post again saying, oh, it's not working as we wanted and we have to tweak it again, I don't know if they will be able to. It sounds really like egregious of me to say that, or like melodramatic or whatever to say, I don't know if they would be able to handle the backlash that would follow that.
Yeah.
But I genuinely don't know if they would be able to handle that level of backlash, because that would be a PR nightmare.
Agreed. I think we're in this weird situation that, look, we've always said about CAM that it was a fun, challenging mission.
Yeah.
That just went on a little too long.
Right.
Like they it was just like it, you know, it was. Like, it is possible to have too much of a good thing. Like, it's kind of like in that category. And I don't think CG wanted to find themselves in a situation where it was 2 years into the release of a character and people just had not unlocked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the goal is to get reboot shards in people's hands, and they mm-hmm. wanted it to be a challenging mission, and they wanted it. I think they liked the way the communities, again, if I were in their shoes, I would like the idea that the community is coming together to solve this problem in this game mode.
Right.
Like, I would think that would be very cool. I personally think that we're going to see a turnover of Reva to another character in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they need people to get through this so they can pull her out of that mission, or they can replace her somewhere else on the board with another mission or another character that makes sense from that side. So they need to be able to make it obtainable,
mm-hmm.
but they need to make sure that it kind of aligns with what their vision of the difficulty of the mission was.
That's a really good point, because they did say that they would add other territory battle characters. And you can't realistically pull that character off the map if the majority of your mid to top end guilds don't have that character. So that is fair. I am curious about it, because one, they did say that they are going to monitor the mission and tweak it as needed. But it is just very strange to me, because, and this is the thing of why I think it's strange, is they didn't go in and make the ability level 1. They went in and removed the ability, which defaults it to level 1 in the coding. And I'm like, why would you remove it? Like, if you want it to be level 1, just make it level 1.
Yeah.
So it just seems like a weird thing.
Well, in what speculation? And again, it just could be we meant to just remove it, and we didn't realize that our game
right
at zero equals one. But it may actually be that the only way to make it level one is to actually remove it.
Right. And that's the other thing, because I don't know enough about their coding, yeah. Right? Like, that could totally be it as well.
Yeah. So and again, who really knows on some of these things? Again, as long as I get my 44,
yeah,
I'll let 42 slide. I'm happy with it. I think I looked at it the other day, and at our current pace,
mm-hmm.
I think we end up being like four short.
Yeah.
If we're perfect over the next three. So it's going to take us into the fourth one to get it done. But I just want it to be done.
That's fair.
There's too much reading going on right now.
Yeah. But so. I mean, I think it was just really good to point it out, because a lot of people were, especially in smaller guilds that don't have a ton of Grand Inquisitors, that don't have as much of a leg up in terms of the shard gain, were concerned that it would be impossible to
do.
Yeah.
I do know. Savitar said CG doesn't even know enough about their coding. Look, man, Savitar, I published, I have a piece of published software that is 95 lines long. And every time someone asks me how it works, I actually have to go read it line by line, and I have to re-engineer it to remember what it is. Of course they don't know how it works. No one ever knows how software works from that perspective. 90 yeah. lines of code is the worst thing anyone's ever written, but you know what? Other people use it, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I feel it. And this is also, I mean, I can't blame them, because you've got a game that's 7 years old yeah. with how many different developers that have come and gone working on it, and they all work in their own, you know, coding mess that you go, if I go look at your code, I'm gonna be like, what the hell did you do here? It's not gonna be the same as how I would, you know, build it.
I am not surprised. I would not be surprised that there is not literally super glue smeared on monitors and on people's desktops, because they thought that was the only way to actually, you know, get some of that code to stick together in some of those cases. But we'll see though. Tomorrow's our big run on it. That was I kept going back and forth today. I went to go use that team in Geonosis, and it kept prompting me that, you know, Grand Inquisitor. I'm like, wait, am I doing this right? No, we're doing it tomorrow. Maybe I should double check, and maybe I'll just use a different team. And
I've had a few people message me to be like, are we, am I okay to use Grand Inquisitor? I'm like, yes, we are. We are doing Riva in phase four. So, yeah, but anyway, so totally, totally encouraging. Again, I wouldn't say it is a cakewalk. I wouldn't throw caution to the wind, essentially, and just because there are
stream tomorrow.
Yeah, there are cases where you're gonna be like, oh, I have to actually think about what to do here.
Yeah.
At like with any mission. So, which is fine if you can just think it through and then manage it and then get your shot. So oh, and then the other key thing about this as well. So there's two other key things, sorry, and then I swear we can move on. Because it is a level one ability, the percentage of thermals is lower, the damage they deal is lower, so they're only dealing 10% max health instead of 20, and Scavenger only stays in stealth for one turn instead of three.
Okay.
So you can get a Scavenger faster, theoretically, and get him out of there and then not have it be a problem at all.
So I know you wanted to move on. I have a question for you on this, though, as I'm thinking about this. How much do you think the mission is, we're seeing higher success rates of the mission because people are forced to bring the characters up to higher relic levels,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to kind of the mentality in the CAM days of what is the lowest amount of investment I can make to get this done?
That is a good point, because I mean, we see what relic levels do to characters.
Yeah.
Like we see what it does to their health pools and protection pools. Yep. We see what it does to their damage output. And I mean, so that now becomes another point in this. I saw on Discord today, somebody was asking about filling platoons in phase two in the mix zone, because those affect the Riva mission.
Yep.
And the phase two platoons give you increased crit chance and crit damage. And the higher your crit damage is in the Reva mission, if the thermals crit you, they crit you based off your own crit damage. So somebody was basically asking, is it worthwhile to not fill the platoon so that you get to have a weaker thermal exploding on you theoretically if it crits? Which the answer is no, because you will kill the enemies faster.
If you
can crit, or, and I think that's the same thing with the relic levels, right? Like if you are dealing damage faster or harder, or if your health pool is bigger, you're going to survive longer and get through it faster.
I think back to the CAM days, and when I ran a bunch of characters up to relic 8 just to make it easier, and what it really was is that I could make everybody faster because I had this starting health buffer pool.
Right.
That so you didn't have to chase health as much. You could actually just go, you could get into single stat pieces. And I just wonder if part of, I know everyone was kind of bent out of shape. You're going to force me to go to relic 7 to do this, but because you're forcing everyone to go up there, everyone's starting at a much higher kind of level for those characters to kind of make everything happen. And I almost wonder if those are 7 requirements haven't benefited people in the long run. Frankly, we're starting to see more and more people just take them up to R8 to just use them the next day or the next phase as well. So
that's a really good point. I think that has legs, honestly. And we saw that with the CAM mission, right? Like you saw what the bare, people will go in with, like, this is the bare minimum that you can do it with. And you could do it if your mods were exactly right.
Yeah.
If you knew exactly what you were doing in the mission. But the RNG of the mission could still screw you over.
Yeah.
And it was more likely to screw you over because of your relic.
Yep.
That's a really good point. I think that probably is the case here too. So
I'm good for one idea like every 2 weeks. There it is.
Perfect. Love it. Okay. That's it. That's all I wanted to say about Reva real quick. We don't need to deep dive into it. Just wanted to throw it out there that the sky shifted. It hasn't fallen. It just shifted.
Yes, it just shifted.
Yeah. Okay. This is a good question, actually, while we're on this topic from Mickey. Is Relic 7 the new Relic 3/5?
Oof. No.
No?
I still think 5 is the 5. 5 is the new 5.
Yeah, I still think that's like, that's where I try to get everyone
five
once I get them to relics, unless it is like, oh, they only need to be at 3 for this requirement or whatever.
Yeah. 7's a heavy investment still. It's still hard to get through it, especially with the cheese danishes. You just need a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 5 gives you a lot of flexibility of you can do a lot of great things with a character at 5, and you can flex them into 7 and above if you need them to for whatever the requirements are.
Yeah. I think what is happening now is we're seeing more and more characters get bumped up because of territory battles.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's for platoons or battle, like the actual combats or whatever. Because you have that gate to even access the missions and access the platoons, we're seeing that happen.
Now, I do think that, because again, I'm going to keep saying it so that it doesn't feel like I said it once and then if I'm right or wrong, but Relic 10 is going to come with a raid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Relic 10 comes in, they're going to make 6 and 7 easier to obtain.
I hope so.
And when that happens, I think that we're going to see that 7 does become the new 5 in that case. Because that's really what we saw when CPIT came out, is we saw kind of an influx of resources where 3 became the new 5.
Right.
And I think that we need that next incremental step up to kind of raise the bar, and then everything kind of starts moving up towards 7.
I think I agree with you about that. I'm curious how they're going to handle it, because I think they still need to fix that middle point between gear 12 and gear 13.
I think it's I think it's two steps. I think we're probably going to get a third round of gear changes increases.
Me too.
I think though we're also going to see a reduction in salvage material needed for 3, 4, and 5 for levels 3, 4, and 5, like they did with 1 and 2 as you're working your way up into higher tiers where they kind of drop those off.
Right.
I think we're going to I think we're going to start to see some of the bottom pieces drop off the requirements for going up. So, it's hard to get a character to 5 if you're still using all this essentially the same amount of resources to get a character from 5 to 8 on the bottom side. So they've got to lighten it up if they're going to push higher to the top.
Right. And so for me right now, I was just looking at this before we started recording, because I was like, oh, okay, Lord Vader, like that's my thing that I need to stay focused on. And out of the requirements, only 6 of the characters are not at relic levels.
Yeah.
So they're all anywhere between like gear 11 and 12. And I cannot take a single one of them to gear 13 because of that gear 12 gear.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just like, all right. Plus, I'm also salvaging that gear because I needed to take a character to relic 8. So I was like, okay, well.
Someone tell me where to prioritize this here, because I need all of it in all these places.
Yeah. So it is a little bit of a spicy area to be in.
Yeah. Yep.
So
agreed.
I am curious though on your thoughts on this, because you were saying earlier you think this is like the quiet before the storm.
Yeah.
So what do you think, other than the obvious, like we're gonna get the Cal Kestis stuff, we're getting the raid, like do you think there's something else?
I don't think it's something else, but I think it's, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago that there's a legitimate view that we're going to need to raise 14 characters up in the next 3 months.
Right.
And that's outside of if another Galactic Legend or something to that level comes. That just seems like a lot of work. Like that seems like we're going to be turning things over very, very quickly to make that happen. And especially at higher relic levels, everyone's kind of got their project they're working on right now, but all of a sudden it feels like they're just going to drop Reva. So it's going to be a Reva team. It's going to be a Tusken team. It's going to be a Trench team. And it's going to be this Cal Kestis stuff. And all of a sudden it's going to be back to like, what do I do?
Right.
Like, I think everybody has a plan right now. They're kind of moving forward with it. I know like folks that are unlocking job will say, no, that's really exciting. But I think a lot of us were just kind of working on plans, but it's not exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then this raid's going to come in and it's just going to spin up a ton of activity around how do I maximize my what I do there.
Right.
It just feels like we're kind of just plodding along right now, waiting for the next big thing to happen. And we know the next big thing is coming, but I think it's going to be pretty chaotic when it actually gets here.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
You know, I hate to say it this way because, like, I know how much effort you put into territory battles, but like territory battles coming into the game was not a massive, it wasn't a massive change for the player base because one, the missions have been relatively straightforward. As long as you've got characters to be there, people are being successful. I know that the territory battle leaders and everything there's a ton of work that they had to put in to kind of get maps and get plans and all those pieces. And y'all put in a ton of work or less, but this was not the last round of territory battles where everyone was like, crap, I went 0-for-4 on 4 missions today. What do I do to make this happen? People have been generally successful with everything moving forward. I think the raid is going to be maybe a little bit of a kick in the teeth of like, oh, shoot, we got to actually think about this again. We've got to try.
Right. Yeah, especially when you factor in that you're going to get your own reward track as well.
Yes. Yeah.
It adds a level of a little bit more for most people, I think it will add, or maybe I don't know how many people are interested in raids, but it's going to add a level of investment.
What's been interesting is when I decided to do this new 52 project, I realized I had to start getting back into raids just to get salvage stuff, like to push it forward.
Right.
The second that they announced this new raid and the other ones were going away, I don't think I've hit a raid since. Yeah. I am completely checked out on raids again. And it's just like, no. I'll put it off to the side and wait till the next one comes around. So, my love affair with raids lasted about 5 weeks and then it fell back off again.
Mine too. I was like, I got to hit the raid because I need all this gear. And then I did it a few times. They announced the new raid and I was like, Oh, and then since then, I've gone back to my, oh yeah, there was a raid an hour ago, wasn't there? So
yeah
that is fine. Okay. I don't know what we're gonna do here, but do we want to talk about I Love You, I Know?
I mean, I don't have anything I love right now.
This is the thing. I feel weird about this too, because I'm not hating on anything. I feel like we're in limbo.
Yeah. So non sequitur. My company uses this thing called TeamSpace. Mm-hmm. That at the end of the week, you have to talk about the things that you love. Like, do you feel like you made an impact? Do you feel good about your week? Tell me something you love. Tell me something you hated. Mm-hmm. And you have to do it once a week and your boss reads it and he's supposed to comment and whatever. In this week, I looked at my last week and on a scale of 1 to 5, do you feel that you got to use your skills every day? It was a 3.
Right.
Scale of 1 to 5. Like, do you think you made an impact? It was a 3. Tell me what you loved last week. Didn't love anything last week. What'd you hate last week? Didn't hate anything. It was just a week. Like right now it's just a game. Like, it's kind of the way that I look at it.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just sometimes you're just at that point. So.
Right. I guess that's where we are right now. And maybe I should make a mental note, because I'm curious if this happens every year at this kind of point in like mid to late February. Or we're just kind of waiting.
Yeah, at this point last year, we were working on, we had the new ship incoming.
Yeah, Second Sister was released, and I guess 9th.
In her ship, in 9th.
And the ship was in Conquest.
There was a lot more churn about lack of interest of the Inquisitors, because I think the first 2 kits came out and they just, no one felt that they were that great. But we don't even have the reaction of the Tuskens are, huh, they look fun. It's not like, oh, this is stupid, why are they here? It's just, yeah, I mean, it's I don't want to say content for the sake of content, because that feels like it's a negative comment, but it's not intended to be. But
right,
yeah, I don't know.
Almost like it's like a filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we're just neutral this week.
Yeah.
That feels weird. That feels real weird.
We're going to need a section that we can go into. It's we've got the I Love You, I Know, the Bantha in the Room, and then like Hondo's Corner, when it's just like, no, we're neutral this week.
Yeah. Hondo's Corner. Okay, so there was a Discord corner question though. Yep. Which I thought was an interesting question. And really,
It is.
So Master Luke was asking, if the personal reward track goes well for the crate raid, because that's where we're gonna see it, what would your thought be on a similar concept for territory war?
So my immediate reaction is there's no way this would work. And then the more I think about it, I don't think it's a bad idea.
I don't think it's a bad idea either. I'm just curious how it would work.
Yeah, I think how it would work would be interesting, but it's, and look, to any of the officers for ODB, quit listening for the next come back in 120 seconds. There are territory battles that I just know that we're not going to win.
Territory wars, yeah.
Or territory wars that it's just things aren't breaking, and I just lose interest. And there are, but I know there are a number of people like, no. I want to keep fighting. I want an opportunity to see what the next thing is. And honestly, I feel guilty when I don't want to play.
Right. No, I totally get that.
But if there's a way to reward those people for keeping at it and for spending, you know, for doing the fights, I'm 100% on board with that.
I'm more curious of like, would it be related to banners? Because then could you theoretically go in and just fill the board with defenses?
Or do we get people that are just taking shots with stupid teams, just trying to like pick off one or two characters, and then all of a sudden it burns us in the long run? So,
or what happens if you are busy at work that day and then you log in and the board's cleared because it was the gimme war or something?
Yeah.
I feel like it's an interesting idea, and I could see why you would want to implement it, because you obviously want to be rewarded if you're doing more. I just don't know how you could do it I don't want to say like properly, but safely.
Yeah. But we had a sandbag territory war last week just because long weekend and a bunch of people left. And I didn't check in for like the first, 18 hours. And when I logged in, I think I was, so I'm typically sitting one or two after setting defense.
Right.
When I checked in with 4 hours left, I was at like 27 or 28. But I finished it too because I got all of the crappy filler teams in the back that I got to churn through with all of my teams. Like, I think there's got to be a way to kind of balance that, because like, that's not what I call participation.
Right.
That's what I call, like, that's mop up. There were people that did a ton more work breaking through a couple of walls to make it so that I could, run around with my stupid teams on that side. But yeah, I, if there was a way to reward people, I think that would be great.
Yeah. I don't know how you would do it. I am curious about the idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But also, so this is also what ends up happening for me. So I didn't join that territory war because I was also busy on the weekend. So I was like, I won't be a hindrance. So fine. And then you guys got a great war. But anyway, the one before that, though, there were 3 or 4 counters, I think, that were called right at the very beginning for the two walls at the front. And I only had one team out of those called. So now I'm like, I only have one.
Yep.
So I guess I'll just sit on my hands. Like, I used it, but like, I guess I'll just sit on my hands and wait. But then you could go in with all four.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like, and that's not me being like salty or petty, but like, that's a fact. Like, I only have the one.
It's the function of the way that the territory wars work right now. It's
yeah.
I'm in a similar boat that they're pulling one of my GL teams that we typically use on offense, but they're putting mine on defense.
Right.
So when that counter call comes in to use them, I'm like, oh, I can't do anything here. And it's one of those, like, I almost feel anxious about it as well, because it's like, why are people not getting in there and running this counter? I'm like, do I need to tell them that I can't? They should know that I can't, because they're the ones that actually set the map. But it's, it's, I don't know. I don't have an answer for it, but I like the idea.
Yeah, I like it too. I had that exact thing happen as well, where I was like, I can't use that counter because it's on defense.
Yeah.
And I just won't. The exact same thought. I was like, do I say something? So, okay. We haven't had a profanity event.
We have not. Nope.
So I don't think the fleet meta report would have changed.
Nope.
Let's just skip that, and we can, I guess we'll go to Uncle Owen's moisture farm.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Yeah, we can talk about all the lovely things I'm farming. So I don't recall if this was done last time or not, But my acolyte is Relic 8 now.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was done for the last episode. I also took my Finn to Relic 8 because this is the downside of the new territory battles is if you have any guild turnover, it creates these holes. So I very quickly took my Finn to Relic 8 and I'm feeling the crunch of doing that. So those two are done, which means now I can go back. Not that I had stopped my Lord Vader farm, but I can actually focus on it a little bit better with all of my energy. But it is, I know I need to do this farm. Like, I know I need to. I've put it off so many times already, but man, it sucks. All I'm doing is I'm not even looking at the relic levels for their whatever they need. I'm just trying to get them to gear 13. I'm like, damn, this is rough. And I'm trying to put them in a priority order. So right now I am working on Wrecker because he needs one piece of gear and he'll be gear 13. Tech is next. And then the Bad Batch crew will be done. They'll be gear 13, obviously, aside from Omega. And then I'm like, I guess I do the Tusken next.
Yeah.
Cause I'm going to need that. And then I guess I do Zam afterwards. Cause that plugs into my bounty hunter team pretty nicely. And she's got her Omicron. So that's fine. So I'm trying to put them in this like priority order, but man, it is painful.
You're basically going through like getting ready for tax season right now. Like, yes, I know I need to do this. And I work on it for 15 minutes and then I stop and go do something else.
I also feel like bad complaining about it because I feel like I just started it again. Like I just finished the Jabba grind. That's probably why also it feels worse is because I'm doing it back to back. There was no fun in between thing. So yeah, it's fine. It's going to get done. But
it's fine. I'm fine. We're fine.
Everything is fine. Nobody is rocking back and forth in a corner crying yet. But yeah, it is a lot. I'm hoping. I don't know if I should give myself a time limit. I don't know how much brain power I will have in a couple of weeks, but
I think the next big thing is going to be in the summer.
Yeah. Okay. So theoretically, I could get Lord Vader by April, let's say.
Yep.
And that puts me in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. I think, just knowing you, I think that you're probably going to want Cal Kestis next. Only because he seems to be this big territory battle thing.
Yeah, no, I'm already kind of like,
But I think though, if you get Lord Vader in April, or at least you're ticket farming in April for him, I think that aligns to when we're going to see him. Because I think the more and more I think about Cal Kestis, that fourth character that we don't know what it is.
Right.
I think that fourth character is coming from Survivor. I think it's coming from the new game, and that's why we haven't seen it yet, which means we gotta wait for the game release for that to drop.
Well, it also makes sense too, because to have the game drop in April, we're getting another road ahead in April.
Yep.
So that's when we're gonna hear more, I expect, about Cal Kestis. I expect that's probably when we'll hear about it in general.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we'll get a marquee before it, like Cal himself, but I don't think we'll get much other than that. And then obviously we're going to hear more about the raid. And then they're probably going to hint about something else.
Yeah. I mean, we seem to be lining up pretty well to what happened last year, which makes me think that June, July is probably, you know, lines up to when we saw Grand Inquisitor. That might be like when we see Cal. Then we start, as we get into that June, July timeframe, was we start to see the marquee release cadence towards mm-hmm. a Galactic Legend in October. And then, you know, whatever happens at the end of the year. I mean, and again, part of this is, you know, I need to take a look at what the TV release cadence is for Star Wars shows, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of really well-known characters that are going to get established in the television universe over the next 12 months. And where do they fall in?
So we have Mando comes out March 1st. And yep. then for May 4th, we're getting Visions and Tales of the Young Jedi Adventures,
okay.
or Young Jedi, whatever it's called. And then other than that, they haven't really specified. We're getting the Acolyte at some point. I think they're still filming. And then Ahsoka hasn't been given an actual date okay. yet, other than 2023. Okay. But I'm guessing Ahsoka is going to be like October, November.
So it'll be the holiday release cycle.
I think it will. I think they're going to make us wait for it.
Yes.
That
makes me think then yeah. we're going to get a Cassian. It's going to be a Cassian Christmas.
Hmm. Okay.
Because that seems to be the way that this works, is they're typically 12 months behind.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a Cassian Christmas. Lucian, spinny ship, angry blonde lady who was the spy, dark-haired lady who was a stone cold killer that they didn't, you know, I've already forgot all their character names, but I can picture all of them in my head. So yeah.
Yeah. That would be interesting. But yeah, and then like you tie all that in and we've got a whole yeah. bunch more of content yeah. that could be thrown our way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. But anyway, what are you working on?
So I brought Zori. Zori was released. This is actually tied to the New 52, because part of my New 52 project is that new characters automatically go to R7. So Zori went to R7.
Mm-hmm.
She's been fun in territory battles. I did not use her in Grand Arena at all. So Tusken Shaman, Tusken Raider, Young Lando, and Young Han all went up to R7 over the last 2 weeks. But I am currently, everything's kind of on hold because I am making, I got enough gear saved up for Reva and Trench
mm-hmm.
and enough to take Reva to R9 and Trench to R7. Or oh. I'm finalizing that. I'm still working through some of that, but that is going to be my baseline that the rest of the 52 will be built off of. So that becomes my zero point on that. Surprisingly, the gear at 8 and 9, or the relics at 8 and 9 were already there.
Oh, really?
It's all like the level 1, the level 2, the level 3 stuff, like the transistors and the chromium and all mm-hmm. those pieces that I need like 600 or 700 of that I had just stopped farming for a period of time. So it's been a lot of kind of getting all of that back up to speed and getting all of the salvage material kind of caught back up. So, and it's just painful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, man, if we could get more relic material.
Yeah, Tuskens are going to be a slow farm for me. One of our guild mates actually, like the day that the chieftain came out, like sent me a screenshot of his Relic 7 Tusken Chieftain, and like when I'm like, whoa, that's a big step right there. Like that yeah. that's saying a lot from that side. But no, he's all in. But I should be ready to go kind of when the raid gets there. But plugging along. So
yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. What I'm trying to do as well, just stay on top of the character
yeah.
farms
yeah.
as they're released, which I think you and I have said multiple times, you cannot stress that enough, of staying on top of that.
Yeah. I sped up Zori a little bit because I really wanted to use her with the Finn team in territory battles, and she's a ton of fun there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see where it lands.
Yeah. I guess that's it.
I think that is.
Feels weird.
I think you know what? I'm not even gonna say CG needs to give us a little bit more. I'm good with this.
I'm good with it.
Look, every good TV show every once in a while has a filler episode. It's okay to admit this was a filler episode.
Yeah. Give me like a month of filler. I think we will have one more episode before I disappear for a little bit. I have no idea. But give me like a month so that I can get my bearings straight. And I would be good if they just gave us some filler until like end of March.
I want an update in March that is Meathead going, look, folks, we just decided to put everything on pause. Let Sarah get a couple of weeks. Yeah, just get everything just back together for a couple of weeks, and then we'll get back after it. Congratulations, Sarah, and go from there. So
that would be great. That would be fantastic. And then we can all just come back and pick up as if nothing had happened.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we're done until
we're next done. Time.
Man, that was weird. Man. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining. Pico, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
I'm sure we'll do it again beforehand. And I guess that ought to do it. And until next time, Chewie, we're home.